Hello everyone and welcome to our show.
Let's build a business based on H2H, not B2B, but human-to-human sales and marketing automation. A human approach is the only one that sells.
My name is Bart and I invite guests for a short 20 minutes interview to inspire you and to improve your sales and marketing the human way. Today, I'd like to welcome Phil Oakley, a system integration expert working with challenger brands to know their numbers, systemize their business, and scale. Phil, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Phil, where are you dining from today?
Dining from Stafford, just north of Birmingham in Staffordshire.
Wonderful. We are recording this during summer, so hopefully we can get some sun before actually we tune and in this podcast. But thank you for taking the time. Today's topic is discussion about data and how that data can influence sales and marketing, ultimately make us more look like a human when we approach customers. So tell me a little bit, Phil. You work with data. What actually is data?
I suppose it's very very broad. But I suppose if we start at the absolute basics, and you would know. This bar, data is that the first name, the last name, the address, the postcode, all of those key bits of the data, which of course are so important. Human to human, isn't it important we know their first name as that first piece of data, not hello customer, hello first name. That's probably one of the most important pieces of data that we know as human beings, when we meet somebody and you remember the name and say, hello Bart, how are you? Rather than going, can't really hi that person.
So in the old-fashioned way of doing business is when you exchange business card, you read that card, you met Phil, you met Mark, you then obviously approach them once again at another event, so you know their names, and that is the kind of personalization that we can use. Example, obviously.
And it is a great example, as you say, and then over time we know, are they married? That's a piece of data and information. Have they got children? What's their favorite football team? Do they like beer or red wine? These are great pieces of data and signals as well that we can get insights in people. Do they like golf? Because when I'm going to put that golf event on invite, well, let's start with people who like golf. But that's data. And that's data we've been probably storing in our heads, this time through networking, through that human-to-human connection. But of course, this is now just in the digital world and we're expanding out. And of course, I can probably only just about remember a couple of hundred people's names and whether they like golf or not. Whereas in some of the databases that you'd be working with, Bart, there's a few more than a couple of hundred people.
But very interesting. And what you said actually about the data, about you, networking example, or when you met, it's your data, it's the data that you collect. But what about the data that is available everywhere? I know we are living in a Zoom info world. You Google everything, there is a data everywhere, Facebook, LinkedIn. There is, perhaps when I purchase something, there is even my reviews there, the data that someone else is owning. How you can organize as a business owner with kind of to your own data that you know about the customers and the data that is widely available?
Yeah, and I think it is because there's so much data, and let's be honest, probably too much data for small businesses. Where you've got to start is what of that data is actually going to be useful to you? And that, as you say, from a Zoom info, and we could talk about whether it's GDPR or well, obviously, what we really focus on in publicly available data. So, a good example maybe is company's house. What business do they work for? If that's a limited company, how big is it? What sector are they in? These are really interesting information. What vertical are you in for the sort of industry? What size are you? How many employees has that business got? What size turnover might that be? If they're publishing that data, which is generally publicly available for the larger type businesses. But even balance sheets are available for every single limited company that are filing accounts. And of course, the information on that company with their SIC code, their vertical, at least the vertical industry they actually registered with them when they started that company. But I suppose the key is that data going to make it more useful to you in what you're trying to achieve in your goals and outcomes? And as you say, we could go to people like Zoom Info, LinkedIn, lots of social sites to gather data. And that's before you can start obviously going off and buying quite a bit of publicly available data.
I think what you said is done right. It's what you want to achieve. And As an example, obviously within our CRM ecosystem, what we usually advise to our listeners is to look at the timeline of a person who actually converted very quickly as your customer and just review why, what touch points we actually had, what information did we have, what type of, what you said, verticals are actually great. That probably would be the good starting point to not overwhelm with informations you don't want. I mean, maybe you can share some stories with your client, what data and how they actually maybe filter the data that they need.
Yeah, and I think this is, isn't it, it is, right, with these even large data sets, these small businesses, is filtering down and focusing on the important points. I don't know, again, we could talk a bit about work people do on personas. So people trying to really use that data to really understand, you know, what is being referred to in the software world now as sort of ICP, which is, you know, ideal client profile. You know, who is our ideal customer? What would the ideal one look like? Now, even though you might never ever meet that exact 100% perfect, if you can clearly see in your mind what does the ideal customer look like, then you can see the match, the filters, the overlays. And it is picking, as you say, get those data points. Where were the touch points? And what was the ideal customer journey? And we can just keep learning and iterating to understand that we would spot an ideal customer maybe sooner, quicker, easier the next time. But always looking for that ideal customer, because hopefully the products, services, and solutions we've got are really aimed at this ideal customer. When we see one, we can think, we have got something good for you. We think you're a good match, and what a great place to start in that human-to-human conversation of wanting to understand the customer, of course, but actually thinking, this could be a good match here. We could actually have a good solution, product, service for this person.
Buyer journey use very interesting concept of recognizing the data, but also where they are within our buying process. This is something I'm always passionate about, that we're sometimes just jumping in too quickly into the marketing / sales conversation. It's because I just showed up on the website. I filled the form because I didn't know what to do. I probably might not be interested in this, but you know, I'll try and see how it goes. So probably quite a lot of people are actually testing and measuring, or maybe in the e-commerce world, maybe they buying something just trying. They not necessarily are your, you know, ideal client profile, but they are kind of trying. They're not ideal profile in that respect. So the data point about a buyer journey, obviously, because now we are living in a crazy world of having a data in different places, you know, look for as an individual, you have contacts on your phone, Facebook, LinkedIn, then WhatsApp, obviously, yes, you have five groups that are just kind of ringing. Then another layer of, from the business perspective, you've got data such as accountancy, stock management, availability of staff, and so on and so forth. You do quite a lot of work with integrations. What are the challenges and kind of good approach to integrate all of this?
I think as what we're seeing is there's so many fantastic solutions out there. You mentioned sort of CRM and marketing in HubSpot, and then we might have accounting software where you might have customer data in Xero, and then there might be inventory management or e-commerce, and it could be Shopify or many of these different platforms. We've got so many data in so many places. It is actually getting it together in one place. So obviously that's where HubSpot can be used to transfer that data. So we, and again, it's filtering down. So we might be working with a client which has all their customers in their, say, e-commerce or inventory management system, and we know exactly what products they've bought and when they've bought them. It's how do we filter that information down to put it into the, say, into HubSpot to be able to serve them better. So that you could actually start to group people in. So again, people who buy this product might also like, you know, this other product. These sort of products who buy on this pattern quite frequently, they might be the ones that we should start talking to about subscriptions or upgrading to one of the membership packages. Or this person who used to buy frequently has now stopped and hasn't bought in 6 months. And that's the sort of thing, presumably, Bob, we can take what is quite a large detailed set of data, but filter key indicators down and use them in customer data to hopefully serve them better and you know, be offering them the service at the right level, either as someone who might be that, you know, fanboy, fangirl and does want that next level, or just that occasional purchaser, but we know that they have a particular interest in certain products. So when we have a new line of that certain product, they might be interested to know that we've got a new flavor of gin because they've bought a sort of a fruity flavored gin every 6 months for the last 6 years, and now we've got a new one. So this might be the perfect person to be asked, you know, asking that we've got a new one. But it's that I've got a lot of data. We could have, you know, thousands of customers, thousands of orders across thousands of products, and line upon line of data. How do we filter that down to start, I think, grouping and segmenting data, which could actually be, I don't think in HubSpot you necessarily need every line of every order. If you've got the system to filter and then pass the key indicator, maybe the tag, the group, the segment, and then sort of track that over time. And again, it's always got to be, do the activity and learn. And if we're using this data and then feed it back into the system again to see how successful it was, always taking customer feedback, trying to get the questionnaires and the direct feedback on how it's working for people.
It's very valid advice. Thank you, Phil. I think the segmentation and not overwhelming with too many data points in order to integrate into one piece of software such as CRM, just to test it, and probably also from our perspective is to try with something simple, so something that you can understand. I know we are we're overwhelmed with what we can do, and that's another kind of challenge. So let's do, if they purchase this, and then, okay, it's kind of if he has logics. What we found, obviously, is that we do quite a lot of difficult things within a system, then obviously it will be difficult to, for everyone to understand what we try to achieve. So something that you can understand and segmentation based on simple rules, then you can obviously expand that. But I think this is just a test and measure approach, because obviously we don't know what we don't know once this data will be there. If we will be able to increase conversion by 90%, that's something already, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, if you can see it's going in the right direction, and you say test and measure. And as you see, the more we can keep it simple, just keep it simple and start learning. And as I know, you can, with all these fantastic systems, make it very complicated with a great workflow, which looks fantastic, with all the arrows and all the boxes. But that takes some managing. And I think as human beings, we are probably at times quite simple creatures in our habits of how we do things, and just keeping it on a human level again, always trying to understand more about the customers and really understanding, any feedback you can get from them directly, I think has a huge amount of value.
So question, we talk about the tools, obviously, such as CRM, which is without any doubt, you need to have some central space to keep all track of the data. But what about the other tools? So let's say that we are talking to, growing business. We're talking about a business who is within probably B2B space. They do quite a lot of different orders, maybe, I don't know, financial insurance or mortgages or any others. What sort of tools you could recommend, maybe even for B2B and B2C examples, any tools that maybe are free of charge, maybe there are some subscription base worth actually looking at? How do you, what ecosystems that you would recommend to our listeners to try?
Yeah, so, a lot of what we do is sort of in this world of accounting software and what we might call business applications. But we would expect that, we would expect nearly any business to have some accounting software these days. If you're just about registered, you're going to need to use Make Tax Digital or something. So you might have a Xero or a QuickBooks. And of course, that can have some great data in. But if you start just talking about, at the very, very, very beginning, is really how are you starting to look at that data, which might have invoices and product information and services. And all of these systems will allow you to export the data. So let's start really simple. Let's just get those, and we can do reports by you. You can get them into a Google Sheet or even into Excel. Let's just work out who are our top 10 customers. Let's do get the customers out top to bottom in a row. And now we're just using tools like the accounting software we've got, but we've got it into maybe a Google Sheet or Excel. And of course, you can use a Google Sheet for free, even if you've not got an Office 365 subscription, to give you a full copy of Excel. And that is, data is silos, and we could just to sort and do that quite regularly, I think, is really start an analysis. What are the top customers? What are the top products? What are we selling the most of? We can really sort. And if you are, struggling to get information into a Google Sheet for every reason, there are tools like, I don't know if you use sort of Zapier, mm-hmm. is one of the ones to start integrating that, is that there's quite a lot of that is a bit of if this, then that world. But really, it's the if we have some transactions over here, and it could be in an e-commerce platform or lots of different platforms, put those new transactions into a Google Sheet. And it's literally is that we're trying to get the data into somewhere we can analyze. It's a nice problem to have when you've got too much data that analyzing in a Google Sheet is too hard, because that's when you can start thinking, okay, we've hopefully got enough investment and money here to look at something like Microsoft Power BI or databases. But in the earlier, we've got tools like Zapier. So again, these are just connectors. I know Zapier does some great things with HubSpot. So you can get data in and out of HubSpot from many different applications. Some of the, you know, low cost or free. And just to say, you know, Zapier is in that world of no and low code. So quite a lot of common sense is required, but really you don't need to, you know, write JavaScript or understand, you know, about coding or anything like that. It's a tool for people who just some understand some logic. I've got some data over here and I want to get it over there. And a lot of time, if we get that into a sort of a Google Sheet in the middle, which could be order lines, products, customer data, that just allows us to reorder, filter, group with some pretty simple, and again, you might need to go and talk to some spreadsheet ninjas to be able to do some, maybe a pivot chart, which will group all the customer together or all the products together by month to start doing right. Who are our top customers? Who are our top products? What are the bottom customers? What are the bottom products? I love the Pareto style 80-20 analysis that 80% of your income come from 20% of your customers. So many of the times, but absolutely try and prove that. Do Pareto analysis. You could do Pareto analysis directly from Xero QuickBooks. Put your customers and the turnover of each customer into a Google Sheet and work out when you get to 80% of your turnover, how many of your clients as a percentage of your total clients. So are you classic Pareto? Do you get 80% of your income from 20% of your customers? It's a relatively easy calculation in a Google Sheet if you know your way around a little bit of data. Some people get, 80% of their turnover from 5% of their customers, and you might want to be careful about losing that top customer. But that sort of initial data analysis is often where we would start at the high level for people who maybe aren't getting to the granular level, who haven't maybe done a lot of data analysis before, who are using your Xeros and your QuickBooks and want to start somewhere with a bit of a Google Sheet and just understanding some key analysis. You know, we do things like what we call RFM analysis, which is recency, frequency, and monetary. So basically, how recently has someone bought, how often do they buy, and how much do they spend? Now, with those three parts of the equation there, you can really start to get some great data to see what sort of customers they are. There's also ABC analysis on products, trying to segregate and group, which is very much based on Pareto. But these are more advanced. But once you've got that data in a spreadsheet, you can start to look of, and all we're doing is creating groups, creating segments, trying to learn. And I think, you know, when we look at data, sometimes we all think we're hopefully quite close to our businesses and our own data. When you actually see the raw numbers and actually compare, sometimes it's quite surprising. Who's in the top 10 customers? Who's in the top 10 products? Like I say, how close are you to that Pareto? You know, how close are you to 80% of your income coming from 20% of your customers? And that's quite a sobering thought, really, because how much time do we spend managing and dealing with the other 80% who are only actually contributing 20% to the business? So it gives food for thought, and hopefully it gives insight to take action. Because obviously, if we're not going to take action, why even get the data to look at? If it's just vanity, or, you know, it's just we're just interested, but we do this because we want to take an action to improve things, to understand.
Thank you very much, Phil. I think the RFM,
recency, frequency, monetary RFM analysis, and by that analysis, you can start to see people who are your top fans, your top fangirls, fanboys, but also you can start to see those good customers who you're starting to lose, that they used to buy, you know, quite frequently with quite a lot of money, but the recency start to drop away. You can really start to analyze who are the new customers, who are the people you're about to lose, who your opportunities might be, because when you start to get those information, and that's where we would say with a spreadsheet full of customer orders and dates, we can segment that down using the data to work out the recency, the frequency, and the monetary values to actually start to map people out. And that's it. You know, if you, as many of you, even if you're not a salesperson, but we're focused on sales, if you've got a, doesn't matter whether you've got 50 customers, 500, 5,000, 50,000, or 5 million, you need to, where's your priority? Even if you've got 50, you don't want to start at the A's and work down to Z's. Let's start with those customers who actually we hadn't noticed. Oh, they haven't ordered for a few months. If you've got 500 customers, it's very difficult to keep in your head. Who hasn't ordered for, and they used to be ordering really frequently, and suddenly something's happened. Has a new supplier contacted them? Have they offered them a better deal? Have they gone on holiday? Are they not very well? There's something for us to think, you know, that is done. And obviously, maybe we want to reward our top customers, offer them some promotion, ask for a review. That's our group of people we can be talking to about asking a review. What are we doing for these new customers that have gone? You know, basically, there's not even enough an action for every segment you can think about. But clearly, we can only do so much. You know, we start with the low-hanging fruit. Or start with not letting those good customers go in away. We work so hard to get new business, to get new customers, and we're so focused on new business that at the same time, while we're looking over at the new customers, maybe we're missing the fact that great customers we work very hard to get are going away.
I think that I've made a weak point. Sorry, we reach about 20 minutes. We promise our listeners to just, you know, keep it short. So what I got, essence, is data will give you priority what to do next.
Yes, if you look at it properly and take that action.
Brilliant. The final bit, I always ask my interviewers the same questions. Obviously, that podcast is all about H2H. And my question to you is your top tips how to sell like a human.
Oh, my top tips. So maybe the 80-20 rule is 80% mm-hmm. listening.
Mm-hmm.
80% listening, but really, you know, understand through good questions what are people's pains and problems to understand where we can offer a solution which really offers a return on investment. So good listening, good questions, trying to get that information even, you know, online through feedback, through understanding. And yeah, being as human as possible. And I think where we see the world with our, you know, as you know, Bart, we've got HubSpot, is at the right time to have the conversation to again prioritize who should we be talking to, because we can't talk to 1,000 people all one time.
Yep.
We need to go and talk to those people and then to ask the questions and to listen.
Wonderful. Thank you, Phil, for your time. And everyone, thank you for listening. And please subscribe to our channels and reach out if you'd like to be a guest speaker. Phil, thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you, Bart. Thank you for having me.
Let's build a business based on H2H, not B2B, but human-to-human sales and marketing automation. A human approach is the only one that sells.